From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of September 2022, USDA Report Day. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about those reports and the reaction in Chicago with Kurt Kimmel at agmarket.net. He is in Normal, Illinois. And then we'll take a look at some of the data behind the reports and the broader perspective of them with University of Illinois agricultural economist Scott Irwin. And we'll wrap up our discussion today, as usual, with a look at the weather forecast. Mark Russo will be here from Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released two reports, the crop production figures, updating supply, and the WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, checking that out across the whole of the planet. This is how it shakes out in the United States. Corn now, total production considered at 13.944 billion bushels, below the 14 billion bushel mark now, after this morning's drop, down 415 million bushels from last month, with a harvested acreage that's been lowered to 80.8 million acres, down from 81.8, and a harvested yield at 172.5 bushels to the acre, down from the 175.4 bushels to the acre last month. That puts the ending stocks for corn in this marketing year, the one we're in now, for the new crop at 1.219 billion bushels, down 169 million from last month, and raises the season's average cash price from $6.65 last month to $6.75 a bushel for corn this month. Soybean total production this month put at 4,378,000,000. That's down 153 million bushels from the previous month. There's a 1.4 bushel to the acre drop in yield to 50.5. That's down from 51.9, so 50.5. 5 is the new yield as a target from USDA. Planted acreage also dropped 500,000. That's to 87.5 million acres, down from the 88 USDA was using previously. It, however, left the average farm gate price for the season at $14.35 a bushel. This despite the 45 million bushel drop in ending stocks for the year, down to 200 million bushels. Here's how futures reacted in Chicago today. Corn was up 11 cents at the end of the day at $6.96. The March at $6.99.5, up 10 and a quarter. And the May at $6.99, up 9 and 3 quarters. November beans gained 76 cents at $14.88 and a quarter on its settlement price. January, $14.92 and a quarter, up 74 and 3 quarters. And March soybeans, $14.90, 69 and 3 quarters of a cent higher. The bean meal up 25 bucks at $439.80 a ton. The bean oil at $68.34, $1.66 higher. Wheat futures were down a dime and 3 quarters at $8.58 and 3 quarters. In the soft red, the hard red down 2 and a quarter cents at $9.27. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $145.75, up 7.5. The feeders down $2.45 at $183.12.5, and lean hogs at $82.77.5, down 35 cents. Crude oil, $1.04 higher at $87.87 a barrel. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $3.61 and 9 tenths, up about 4 cents for the day. And the wholesale price of gasoline today, a penny and 6 tenths of a cent higher, $2.44 and 9 tenths of a cent. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel of agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois, to try to make sense of what USDA released in both the crop production and World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate reports this morning and how the trade reacted. It was a lot about acreage and some about yield, and combined it really managed to push things higher, particularly in the soybeans, where there is now just a 200 million bushel ending stocks. Did they simply not expect this to happen?
No, it's definitely a shocker, Todd. You know, particularly when you drop yield that extra one bushel per acre, what they were expecting, then lowered the harvested acres about a 500,000. You know, they tried to offset a little bit by adjusting the demand side of the equation, but 200 million bushel carryout was at the lower end of what the trade was looking for, and there's some great urgency to get some going. Psychological wise, it was huge bullish report from the standpoint. One, still looking at supply demand balance sheet. You've got the South American production, Brazil at 149 million metric tons, some are at 150 versus last year of 126. You got that jump in the Argentine bean production estimate of 51 million metric tons versus 46. So the significance of that is it puts huge pressure on that South American producer to come through and obtain those record yields or record production numbers to feed the world. And with the recent forecast of La Nina sticking around till January, the weather forecast is not just going to be ideal this growing season. They are in their dry seasonal time window in here, and there's probably going to be some shower activity and stuff, but the risk on is on due to that. Then the other huge fundamental part is the psychology on the cash side of it. If you've been watching the bids on beans, $2 over, just caught short. We continue to believe the old crop was overestimated and the supplies aren't there, and the free supplies aren't there for sure. But what's happening is when you listen to the commercial guys and watch them, they've got fear in their eyes, particularly when they have to pay $2 over. Somebody got a butt chewing for not getting coverage on, having to spend that money to gather. So the strategy for them is to get some coverage up front here, get it caught ahead of time so they don't get caught short like they did this past year, Todd.
That means prices will be bid, I think, upward. Do producers need to reward the market again, or can they be patient through this time frame for soybean sales?
That's a great question. That's going to be the strategy in here. Do I store? Do I sell? I think you got to use a combination of things. I don't think we're incredibly bullish where we're just going to go straight up in through here. I think we're still in the same volatile trading atmosphere where we're going to be sharply higher, sharply lower, back and forth as these analog programs continue to push the market around. And I think the bottom line, though, is that when you look at basis for fall here being under, that we're going to see a positive basis as we go into next year and through here. So I think there's some good support underneath the marketplace. I think you do move some cash grain on strength in here to cash in at these higher levels, but do some replacement strategies. So if this American weather does fall into a major concern, you've got some coverage on, you can participate that way. But the key is to continue to stick to your marketing plan in here. Look at your profitability, even though your profitability is going to be messed up because if you're in an area that missed some rains, you're definitely going to be short on some bushels for the most part. So you got to continue to kind of move a little cash grain in here. I don't recommend big sales in here, but we like being 50% going in this fall. And the biggest thing, too, is where are you on storage? On farm storage is going to be filled up. The commercial storage, you know, what's the game plan there? So there's a lot of marketing in front of us here, and it's going to be a type of market here where both the bull and the bear is going to be rewarded. But the bottom line is, I think we're firm going into year end.
Is there anything that can be learned from last year's experience? Soybeans leading at this time of the year through, I don't know, January or thereabouts, and then the Ukraine war stepping in the early part of this year, calendar year that is, and wheat leading for a while, and then corn, of course, taking the leading role. They're just kind of swapping through the process. Do you see something like that happening again?
Boy, learning something's every year. I've been watching this thing for 40 years, and it's crazy. It's kind of like the wild, wild west once again. But no, definitely short term in through here. I think the beans are the leader here. They were heavily discounted. They thought the beans were going to be the anchor due to the fact that bean crop looks fairly good. They expected some higher bean yields, and that did not happen. Going into this report, they were long corn, short beans on the spread, figuring that would be a safe play. And, you know, a few days, trading days before the report, they covered some of those short positions. But today is pretty massive covering that spread. But, yeah, I think you look for the beans. Then the second part will be the wheat in through here. We'll see how the Ukrainian acreage go. The estimates out of that Ukraine area is all over the place, but some of those larger areas are Russian occupied. So there's still questions of what type of production is going to come out of Ukraine. Are they going to be able to get that wheat in the ground? If you're a producer in that area, heck yes, I'm all in. They're going to try to do their best. But then, too, is that wheat going to be able to move out of there? Putin still holds a big stronghold in the news media and what he says. And those analog programs are going to read the headlines, and whenever Putin says something, the market's going to react short-term to it.
Anything for the livestock producer before I let you go today?
Yeah, we're seeing a situation where I know people get excited, but there was one newsletter said $50 per pound for a hamburger in here. This guy is really bulled up. We've moved a lot of fats and a lot of heifers have been moved, old cows have been moved. And so the cattle complex continues to be some optimistic longer term in through here. So I continue to promote getting some ribeyes where you can. On the hogs side, this lean cutout's been in a free fall. I think we're getting close to finding the bottom there, Todd.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with agmarket.net. If you'd like to see the supply and demand tables and more from the executive summary USDA put out earlier today, you can do that on our website right now at willag.org, willag.org. There you can also listen to our daily agricultural programming and find updates from the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's all at willag.org. Scott Irwin, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, now joins us to discuss today's USDA reports. Hi, Scott. Thanks for being with us. Can you tell me a little bit about the acreage figures that were updated today?
Sure. Probably the big acreage story is that harvested acreage dropped by 1 million acres in corn, and also dropped a little under 600,000 acres in soybeans. So continues to contribute to the storyline of basically smaller planted acreage, total size of the production base for U.S. corn and soybean production, now much smaller than what would be considered to produce really adequate stocks.
It has been an unusual year in the marketplace. Can you trace this back to something at the beginning of the year at all?
Well, obviously, it was a time of incredible uncertainty last spring following the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and prices did go up substantially, but so did input costs. And I think either the market had too optimistic of expectations about downside yield risks for U.S. corn and soybean yields, or we, even though prices were historically very high, they still weren't high enough to expand the total acreage base for corn and soybeans. We're going to come in at just a skosh above 176 million acres combined for corn and soybeans. And I was thinking 181 or 182 to make the balance sheets work out. And so that's a big difference from where I thought the incentives would place us to where we got. So very interesting to me how conservative U.S. corn and soybean farmers were with their acreage decisions this spring.
Do you suppose, because this has now become a supply side issue for soybeans, that the market will rally through harvest, both to bring sales forward in the United States and to incentivize more plantings in South America?
I wouldn't be surprised about that. I don't see how the market can get 2 week through the harvest now with this latest production information, because you know South America has production risks on yield as well. Clearly, the next concern for the market will be incentivizing maybe a large enough South American soybean crop that we can finally get out of this kind of vice of U.S. ending stocks at struggling to get above 200 million bushels. So, you know, the market's got its first job right now is to run the price of soybeans up high enough to ration usage both globally, but also in particular in the U.S. to get some kind of ending stocks above 200 million bushels and get every acre we can out of South America. That's the market's acreage job right now.
Let's stay with supply and production for just a bit. You made note on your Twitter account that there was a bit of a discrepancy or maybe just a gap in the soybean objective yield slide from the executive summary. This is unusual. Can you tell me about the difference between the pods and the yield and what that might mean?
Right. There's always, you know, variability between the objective yield indicator, it's averaged across the objective yield states, and the pod count because seed size and seed weight varies. But that implied difference based on the slide in the executive summary was as big as I've ever seen it. And, you know, if the pod counts that were published for September were the lowest since 2019, about the same level as 2019. Now, you know, we don't want to be careful about being too alarmist, but in 2019, the U.S. average yield was 47.4 bushels. I'm not saying that's where we're headed, but the pod counts are right now this pretty much the same as we had in 2019. We have seen those pod counts can go up considerably from September to October, and they have in previous years, but it just adds to the uncertainty. I think we have to admit that there's the possibility at least of further yield declines for the U.S. soybean number. I don't think we have any great way of forecasting that right now, but you know, the setup is there for that to happen if it does.
Anything on the demand side that you took issue with or that you're concerned about as it relates to corn and or soybeans?
Particularly, not really with the USDA WASDE numbers, with one exception, something I've been harping on for several months now. They did finally drop their forecast of 22-23 corn ethanol use by 50 million bushels. And right now, that looks to me like a little bit of a drop in the bucket compared to what we're facing with U.S. gasoline demand. In recent weeks, we've seen U.S. gasoline use off by double digits, and it's been off by 5% on average for most of the summer. So that's the situation we're facing as we start the 22-23 marketing year on ethanol use. You know, I get the argument that, yes, gasoline prices have definitely dropped quite a bit since the peaks in the summer. There's probably some lagged price effect, but the USDA has only dropped corn ethanol use by about 1% when we're starting the year off in this double-digit decline environment for gasoline use. So, you know, split the difference and say it's going to be down 4 or 5%. Seems more reasonable to me. And then you're talking about needing a drop on the corn ethanol use of maybe 200 to 250 million bushel drop, not 50 million.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Always enjoy it. Thank you, Todd.
That's Scott Irwin. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. Begin with the rainfall that came across the Midwest. I saw some numbers coming out of Chicago that were really big this weekend. Did that happen any other place too?
Well, Todd, yeah, certainly the heavier rains here impacted a little bit, you know, larger area of northern Illinois into southern Wisconsin. And within that zone, rainfall amounts were anywhere from 2 to 4 inches, even some localized 6 to 8 inches there across the region. As you moved out of that kind of bullseye of heavier totals, it did look like, you know, amounts were much lighter, kind of in still significant rains, but more in the way of about 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch.
Do you have expectations for rain to continue to fall widely across the Midwest in the next week?
Well, following this rain event, which is really just ending today in the Eastern Belt and for the Western Belt is done, we don't see any other real, you know, significant events here. And after the rains, basically the next opportunity will be over the upcoming weekend, but it looks very, very light and not a repeat of what just happened over the weekend.
Are you concerned about dry weather in the Western Corn Belt?
Well, not at this time, given that, you know, based on the stage of the crop, and again, some of these rains over the weekend, it's debatable whether there will be, you know, any benefit with these rains. We're a bit more concerned with the Plains hard red winter wheat belt and planting of the new crop there, as it still they've had one of the, you know, driest summers on record. And looking ahead, there's not much in the way of any significant rainfall over the next week or two. They'll also have a bit of a warmer, drier bias. So certainly the Plains hard red winter wheat belt is an area to monitor.
Anything out of South America that we should be watching?
Well, in Argentina, again, that's been the focus of attention due to the long-term dryness there and impact on their winter wheat crop. And now looking ahead towards the start of their summer crop season, they're going to see some minor relief coming up about a week from now. Not a turnaround in the dryness situation or a pattern change, but at least there does look to be one appreciable rain opportunity. And then up in Brazil, still expecting a timely start to the rainy season. And we don't see any issues evolving in Brazil at the present time.
Nothing for the rest of the calendar year? I mean, at this point in time, at least?
Well, tough to say there longer term here, Todd. But with the ongoing La Nina event in the Pacific, you know, that does increase the risk of dryness and potential heat in portions of like Argentina. Southern Brazil may be included in that at a later time, but at least for the time being, there's no indication of any significant issues in Brazil.
Hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.